Welcome back. I'm Michael. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show. It's all about a search. Fiona Goldcrow with us, and the book is A Stone for Benjamin. This is her first book. And Fiona was born in London, England, and enjoyed an idyllic childhood. She began vacationing in Europe around 1953, and her love of travel was continued throughout her life. And before immigration to Toronto, Canada during the 1960s, Fiona attended the University of England. She worked as a fashion buyer in Toronto until she was married. And then after the death of her husband in 1993, she pursued a career researching publicly traded companies with respect to their environmental, social, and governance policies. Now, in her spare time, she investigated her family tree, and her research skills provided invaluable in uncovering information. And in 2012, she wrote a short story called Butterfly Effect, subsequently published in the Globe and Mail in March of 2013. And then she completed A Stone for Benjamin. That was her first book, and that was the same year. But this is a very special book, and it's about a very special search. Fiona, hi, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Now, the search in and of itself, it has to do with an uncle, but what led you up to that point where you decided to really get into what happened and dig up everything you possibly could?
It began just as you could tell as a family search, and then I was very fortunate to find information on Yad Vashem quite quickly that opened up huge doors for me, and I realized that I had the potential to find out a lot more about what happened to Benjamin and his family in Paris. And I continued on from there. It took me to Paris. I traveled to Poland alone. A lot of people thought, how could I do that as a woman? But I decided that I could, and it worked out very well for me. I felt that it was so important to find out as much information as I could and bring his story to light. There are many, millions of stories, but this one was important to me.
Now, by the way, you began your search, you had a photograph and a misspelled name. Not a lot of information.
That's right.
What was your first step? How did you finally find out who it was?
Well, as I said, I decided that I would try Yad Vashem first. Yad Vashem is their database of names. Has invaluable information on there. And sometimes the name of the town that somebody is from, the name of family members are mentioned, and it was because of that that I was able to move ahead. And I did further research at the Memorial de la Shoah in Paris, which gave me more information, and numerous other institutions in France and in Poland. Not everybody is that successful, as in my case, but there truly is a huge amount of information if people are willing just to dig, and that's what I did.
Now, what was obviously it was your uncle, but what was it that caused you to really dig in and get everything you possibly could? You know, it had to get to a point where it was going to be all or nothing, so to speak. So what was it that really got you interested to a point where you were going to find it no matter what?
Well, to be honest, when I found out, and this was long before the information was available on the Valdiv, the roundup of the 11,000 Jews at one time in Paris, but once I realized that the French were also complicit in rounding up the Jews, when I discovered all the historical information, the background behind the roundups, I decided that I just had to get every single piece of information that I could. It was very important for me to raise Benjamin above the number that he became in Auschwitz. In Auschwitz, he became a number, as all of the inmates did, and he died a number. And for me, it was just became almost imperative that I took him back to the human being that he was, I had information about his family, about his children. And when I went to Paris and I was walking on the streets of the Marais area where he lived, I realized that he, like all the other Jews that were there, were human beings. They were live. He became more than a photograph to me. And I just had to get every piece of information that I could.
So he represented, he was symbolic for history, and it wasn't just him, it was everybody who went to a concentration camp, went from an identity, from an individual to a number, and the humanness of them just seemed to disappear, and all of a sudden,
yes,
there weren't people.
Yes, exactly. For instance, many of, actually most of the children were gassed when they arrived in Auschwitz. So though there are records of them being loaded onto the transports from Paris to Auschwitz, there is no record of what happened at the other end. So they sort of just disappeared. And there were adults that happened to as well. So I'm just such a firm believer in ensuring that these people who lost their identity, whether it was immediately on arrival at the concentration camps or in Benjamin's case several months later, it's so important to remember them as the human beings that they were, not what they became.
And I think it's so important that he was representative of, as he started to talk about, he was representative of millions of people, and not just through Auschwitz, through what happens in the world when there is a country that's dominated and the people become less important. They just become tools to achieve an end result.
Exactly, which refers to the genocides in various other parts of the world that still continues. But, I mean, when you think of the magnitude of the numbers, there are just over 13 million people that live in London, England, and the loss in the Holocaust of the 6 million is almost half the population of London, England. So trying to imagine that city with just half the population, it's truly unbelievable. And for as we get further and further away from the Holocaust, it's hard for people to actually conceptualize.
Well, if we don't take a very strong look at what's going on today, you look at what's going on in Asia, but you look what's going on in some of the parts of Europe, if we're not very careful, we're going to be in the same place. I think the book is a phenomenal message of be careful with how you deal with your world because you might end up like this.
That's right. We cannot be complacent. I mean, we have to live our lives in full with our families and enjoying ourselves, but we shouldn't be complacent that it won't happen again, and it could happen to any group.
Well, it can happen. Fiona, it can happen in America.
Yes, exactly.
No, absolutely.
Exactly.
Because the history in and of itself is cyclical, and if we're not very careful, you know, if we want to know what's going to go on in the future, you have to look behind you. And if you don't want, like what happened, then you change things the way they are now. What was your biggest lesson? Your biggest lesson out of the research?
That's a hard one. There were so many. There were various lessons. Obviously, that we have to be so strong and make sure that this kind of thing does not happen again. But I also learned how important it is to ensure that we do remember the past. Because as you said, if we don't remember the history, if we don't remember the past, it can affect us in the future. These people were just like you and me. My great uncle was a brocanteur, so he was an antique dealer. He lost his livelihood, he lost his identity, and he lost his family, his children, and his wife. So I think it's so important that that we make sure that we do not forget and we take that into the future with us.
You know, one of the very important things that I think we've overlooked are the people who did survive the Holocaust. the people who did survive being in prison and what went on in their minds to see the world as they saw the world at that time. We're brought into this world, you know, to do whatever we're going to do. This word freedom is a very interesting word because it keeps changing its definition. And there are people out there that will take your freedom away at just the for power, for money, for whatever the reason is. And what we do is we forget we have our own individual strengths. If we look back at what happened in Germany right before the war started, Germany in and of itself was going through an economic and cultural problems the same way we are here in the United States. What Germany did was they lost their identity. That's what I wanted. They lost their identity. And somebody, and somebody stood up by the name of Hitler and said, here, it's their fault over there. It's the Jews' fault. It's their fault over there. We're going to band together. We all have a common cause. You have an identity. And for that identity, those people who would have been innocent before were killing people and were responsible for all of the tragedies that went on inside the country. So we have to be very careful about this word identity as it relates to freedom.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. One of the problems today as well, and that's why it sort of takes you back to pre-World War II, is because there are many areas, particularly in Europe, who are experiencing economic hardship. And whenever there is economic hardship, you're going to see one group or another blamed for that. And that is where you start to run into racial problems. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to think about what we're saying, what we're doing, and who we're blaming. And we have to look at ourselves.
Well, but the whole, I think let's take a step with that. We have to look at ourselves, but we have to be careful not to think only about ourselves. You know, when we come down
absolutely.
Yeah, there's another word here, and the word is called survival. And we have to be very careful that if you're going to survive, everybody's got to survive. It can't be just yourself at the, you know, and somebody else is going to be at the mercy of your survival. So when it really comes down to it and you're pushed up against the wall, those are very hard decisions to make.
Yes, they are. They truly are. And I don't think any of us really will ever know what many of these people, those that lost their lives in the Holocaust, such as Benjamin, and those that did survive, many of them still, the few that are still around still find it very difficult to talk about their experiences. So again, it's so important to bring all these stories to light so that we never forget.
Now, by the way, if you were to step outside of yourself and if you were to read the book for the first time, what would your takeaway be? What would you have learned that you didn't know before?
There's a lot of detail in there. I think for most people, what they have learned and what people have told me is that they had no idea outside of Germany just what other Jews went through in other European countries. And the book enables people to truly understand that. I think many people think that the Holocaust occurred in Germany and to some degree Poland. And, of course, the Ukraine and Russia, but many, many people didn't realize that it involved other countries, Hungary, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, the names just continue, including France and Belgium and the Netherlands. And so I think for most people, when they read the book, they realize just how difficult it was to survive for many of those Jews. And it was a day-to-day situation where they were, one minute they had a business, the next minute they didn't have a business. So where were they going to get food? One minute a husband is there, the next minute he's been taken off to a concentration camp and his wife doesn't know where he is until a month later. And the children. So I think if I was reading the book for the first time, that's what I would come away with. Just how people struggled to survive and how difficult it was. There truly was two entities going on against them. One was the SS, the Nazis, and the other was the French Vichy government.
You know, by the way, what we do, we're doing that today on an interesting level because of blame. blame created that single move forward. But look at what we think of on an everyday basis. You know, I'm not happy because of you. I'm not successful because of you. I wet my bed because of you. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. And we do it constantly, except we don't notice it until it's exaggerated like it was exaggerated in Germany.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, that's part of human nature.
Sure. No, and I got that loud and clear, but it's sometimes it would be nice to sit back, go to the table neutral, and take a look at what's going on, you know, above and beyond specifically your own world, and you might see some answers there. And I hope the book gives many, many people answers. Now, we're just about out of time, so let me ask you this. Website where we can find you at?
FionaGoldKroll.com.
Okay, wonderful. And by the way, Fiona...
All one word.
Okay, and by the way, if somebody missed it, we've got it up on our website. And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate being here.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.